Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Again, welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having William Shiflett. He is the author of Friendly Fire, and we're going to talk about his book today. If you have any questions, we ask you to post a question in the chat room or call in at 347-324-3460. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim.
I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. Our audience like to hear personal views and where the person is from, and then we'll segue and how you wrote the book and go from there.
Okay, well, I live here in Shenandoah Valley, Virginia, and I'm a pastor of a church here in the Shenandoah Valley, which is a beautiful part of the country. I enjoy motorcycling and recreational flying when I get a chance, and I've got a wife, three children, one grandchild. And so I've got a life that's pretty full and pretty blessed, I guess is the word to use.
Wow. I guess running a parish, and we're going to talk about that, because I know the joys and the pains of running a church itself. But what inspired you to write this book?
Well, basically, I've always wanted to be a writer. It's really been a lifelong goal of mine. I've done a lot of writing. I had some articles published in magazines and stuff of that nature, but we had an experience where we went out to do some of that recreational flying one day right after my son got his pilot's license, my youngest son, and that day my daughter-in-law was struck by the airplane propeller that he was the plane that he was flying. She was struck twice. And that was a pretty traumatic event, as you can imagine. So what happened was that became the springboard for pulling a bunch of these thoughts together about trials and adversities and the struggles that we go through in life. And stuff that I had thought about and taught on and so forth through the years, but had never really been able to really get it congealed into an actual book form. So that experience became the springboard for the book, and then it went from there.
Wow. Kind of give us a story about this book, where it takes place, and kind of a nutshell, without giving the whole thing away, what's it about?
Well, the book is entitled Friendly Fire, Embracing the Power of Trial, and it's really about the fact that even though this isn't a popular subject in today's world, that adversity really is a good thing. None of us want to go through it, but when we've gone through it, quite often we can look back and see that the adversity, whatever it was, shaped us, changed our perspectives, changed our outlook some. And for myself, I think that it's just a very important book because, again, we're living in a culture today that's really seeking the easy way. And there is no easy way to become successful, to build your character, to see your dreams. There just is no easy way. And so adversity is something that the book presents the fact that adversity is something God uses to shape our character, to refine our vision, to give us a sense of stability and steadiness in a changing culture and a changing time, and really look at difficulty and failure as a springboard, as a platform to build upon. It's a different book, and that theme in itself sounds, well, I've heard that before, but the difference between my book and other books along that subject is that I am actively advocating that you embrace the situation and not look at it as though something has happened to you that is in and of itself bad, That's the difference between my book and some of the others that are out there on the same topic.
Okay. I think it's the one of the phrases of life. I mean, you have the good and bad, and you have the ugly, and everything can't all be good all the time. If everything was good, you never learn from anything. We just live in this world that nothing happens, and I'm not going to say it's really boring, but you can't learn from anything when you don't have to go through things, in one sense. And I'm sure every Sunday you preach this, and you preach this to, I think, when you actually do your counseling. Taking that strength of telling someone or telling a congregation that you had to have this adversity in order to grow, how do you explain that to a person in order to get them to mature, to understand this is where the fact of life is?
Well, it varies, I guess, from person to person in that respect. But basically, what I would try to do usually is point out some of the people in the recent past or the distant past who had to face real adversities, and they came through it. And some of the things that, you know, one that always sticks out in my mind, I'm a real World War II buff, and so one of the things that really sticks out in my mind is the British ace who had both his legs shot off, and he became an ace after that in the mm-hmm. war. You know, it's that kind of, this is not going to keep me down. I'm going to overcome this. And so I would use examples like that to point that out. But the other thing is just reminding people what you just said. There is no easy way. There's no simple path, not to real success, not to real fulfillment, not to real satisfaction. We live in this instant culture where everybody thinks you just push the button and presto, there is the perfect life. And it really doesn't happen like that for anyone. It just isn't like that. And so you just have to help people to connect with the reality of the world in which we live and the understanding that adversity is part of the journey. And there's an old saying that says life is a grindstone. Whether it grinds you down or polishes you up depends on what you're made of. And so I try to kind of highlight that for people without being insensitive to the pain or the difficulty they're going through, but just to help them to see that this is not the end of the story. It's just one chapter in your life as you go forward.
You know, you can take the Bible itself, and it gives you all the great things and the great miracles, but it gives you a lot of adversities and things and trials that people have to go all the way around this in order to get here. I mean, we had to go through the desert for 40-some-odd years in order to get to the land. Taking those particular scenarios, it's really difficult for some people to see that they think a person had a good time getting there, an easy time of getting there, that things were just given to them and just things just grew out of it. Like, for example, let's take Howard Hughes. Come from a kind of a well-off family. They wasn't extremely rich, but they were kind of upper middle class. He grew up in a kind of well-to-do family. And he became a billionaire. He had something within him that looked like people say, oh my gosh, how this person can take this, and everything just work. Now, we all know all the struggles that they go through to get there, but it seemed like he just coasted through life, and then at the very end, at the height of who he is, then issues start to surface, and he starts to break down. Do you think some people in life have the easy road, like let's take more modern day, maybe Bill Gates, who had this thing and grew out to be the world richest guy, and all of a sudden looked like he had an easy time getting there, than versus other person who had to struggle to get there. If you look at the Buffett and you look at Gates, Buffett has grew. Hard work, little by little by little by little, and take Gates just dashed up there. Is that making sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I think what you're trying to get at, Tim, is this fact that many times people looking from the outside, they look at a person who's had great success and they just assume that it's been handed to them on a platter and that they really didn't have to do anything to get it. Now, certainly that's possible for some people. I'm not going to dispute that. There are people in the world who were born, so to speak, with the silver spoon. But there are many, many more stories of people having success because they had a vision, they stuck with the vision, they worked hard, they put in the long hours of sweat and sacrifice and got to the top. And sometimes, and I think this is especially true in America today, without wanting to get too passionate about certain subjects, I think there is a real attitude in today's world that it's not fair for them to have that, so you need to give it to me. And in reality, they earned it, they worked hard to get where they are and what they have, and everyone can do that. But it takes adversity. It takes some times where there are times when you want to quit, you want to give up. Even with respect to having a book published, after you get it published, you still have to get the word out about it. You've got to publicize it. You've got to do book signings. You've got to get the feedback from people. And some people like it. Some people didn't like it. You know, you have all of that. It's an ongoing thing that you have to cope with. And you just can't look at it from a standpoint of, wow, they've got it made, and think that they got there just by some easy road. It's a challenge, and it's a work in something you really have to commit yourself to.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I think we take that same thing, which you just mentioned. Some people in the world see America have an easy life, and they get all these things, and then you're dealing with a third world country who have nothing. And it's just either circumstance they were born in that they where they are. And they might have hopes and dreams to get here, but materialistic mean there may be not a way for them to even to make it to this particular land. But I agree with you that if you work hard for it, may I understand the principle, and maybe things going to have a showdown and there has to be some happy compromise. But I guess if you work hard for it, someone shouldn't try to take that away from you. Because they don't know how hard it is to get those things. You might have been up for a whole week, you know, 20 hours a day, only rest on 2 hours of sleep to get there. And then all of a sudden someone is jealous of you, who's going to try to take it away. Parallel that back to your particular book, do you have any particular stories in that book that gives you that same type of scenario?
Well, you mean the aspect of overcoming some great adversity? Or
Absolutely.
Okay, well, for example, with respect to my book, one of the things another thing that sets it apart from other books is that I never graduated from high school. I quit in the ninth grade after being kicked out repeatedly. I was finally quit school altogether. Joined the United States Marine Corps because the judge said you have to go to work, you have to go to school, or you have to go in the military. Failed at that. I got kicked out of that a few months afterwards. I was kicked out of the Marine Corps. By the time I was 20, I was divorced and had a son out of wedlock. It was a life of significant difficulty, and it would be easy to say, okay, you know, I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm not going to keep fighting this. But I didn't do that, and I kept struggling and working in life to try to get more than I have. So there's that concept of adversity, which is it's good. There is a struggle involved, but there is a dimension of adversity, which is good. For you, and it helps you to overcome and gives you a different perspective when you have success that's come that way, that you've really had to work hard and struggle to get. When you have success that way, it does change the your outlook about other people and their struggles as well.
Wow. And comparing your book and taking it to your particular parish, have you ever presented, I'm sure they've read your book, any particular reactions they normally have in relating to that and to the sermons that you do on Sundays?
Well, you know, again, this is probably where people differ, but many of the people who've read the book talk about how it's helped them personally. One of the things that I do in the book is I take issue with some of the teachings that are out there that basically say something's wrong with you because you're going through this. And people find great comfort in that. When you're really struggling, one lady that read it and commented was going through her second round of colon cancer. And it's so easy when you're in those things saying, you know, I did something wrong, this is my fault, you know. And the book really helps you to see that this is a normal part of life. It's tough, it's hard, life's not fair, but you can get through this and you can be a better person on the other side because you came through it. So those are the kinds of feedback that I've gotten in respect to the book through the years. Or through the time that it's been released, that people really are strengthened by that kind of understanding. This is not something that I'm terribly bad in this coming my way. It's not a question of how it got here. What am I going to do with it now that it's here? How can I overcome this and rise above it? And that's the thing that I try to focus on and help people see.
Wow. In rising above a particular adversity, I mean, some people just can't see the daylight of rising above it. Let's take it in the sense of a person suffering. I mean, the person who may be suffering from cancer at a young age, and they say, why me, why me, why me? And they, from a healing perspective, perspective to that, they come through it, and they have this new lease of life and a different idea of life. While they go into this particular cycle, and have they come back to you and say, Pastor, I understand what you said. I mean, I'm better now, or maybe the opposite way. Do they say, of course, if it didn't go well and now they're in the hospice, do they say, hey, I understand what you're trying to say, if that's making sense to you? What you said, with all your preaching, because then they have two revelations. One, you're healed. One, you have accepted that, no, this is not going to go well, and you're now in hospice.
Yeah, well, you got to, you know, again, both sides of the coin. I would argue the way that adversity helps you. Let's say that you are going to die, and there's no question now about that. Adversity prepares you for that in life. Again, it prepares you for that in life, so that you have a sense that you're not. I don't know what the right word is, because I don't want to sound callous or uncaring. But adversity can help you prepare for that surprise in life, that, you know, you've been diagnosed and there's no way around this now, so that you use those last moments effectively, in the sense of spending the time that you have constructively with your family, with your friends, you know, expressing your pride and your concern and your care, or whatever, for those that you're leaving behind, instead of falling into a state of depression and despair. Now, I know there are phases that you go through when you're diagnosed with a critical terminal illness. You know, you've got denial and anger and those kind of things. So I'm not talking about those phases that you go through. But it's easy for someone to fall into depression and despair and just give up completely, instead of enjoying whatever amount of time that they have left. And I would argue that adversity helps prepare for that very scenario, that it brings you to that place. It reminds you that, you know, life isn't going to be everything you thought it was going to be. And instead of spending those last moments in a state of self-pity or despair, think about all that you did have. Even if it's a short life, you still had great things that you can be thankful for, and lessons you can pass on. And, you know, it's not as important to, you know, the old saying is not how did he die, but how did he live. And being able to face those last moments with hope, with assurance, and pass on something positive to those that you're leaving behind.
Wow. Well, anything you would like to leave our audience with words of wisdom about your book, and also where can we get your book?
Well, it's available as always at Amazon. .com, and also in the Barnes & Noble website and Books A Million. Also, it is available as an ebook from Amazon. That would be the best places to get it. And I guess the point that I would leave with the readers about the book itself is that it's a book that is balanced, fair, practical, realistic. It doesn't make any false promises. It does lead you on a passage through a hope-filled journey through these 10 different dimensions of struggle and trial and adversity, and shows you how they can make you a better person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on to the program. And can I mention where your website, if they want to get some more information about you and your ministry?
Sure. My author website is www.swordpoints.org. Swordpoints.org. Swordpoints is one word. That is, or you can just look up William Shiflett. You can look up Friendly Fire on the Amazon page, and it has the link, of course, to my website. And there's a lot of other writings and things on there that I talk about in addition to this with respect to the book on adversity. There's lots of other essays on my website that people might want to look up and read about. But the biggest point is to remember adversity is not a bad thing. It is something that everyone goes through, and it can make you a better person if you let it. It won't automatically. You have to choose to let it make you into a better person. But it is not a bad thing. Adversity is not a bad thing.
Can you think of on top of your head of a song that if you left a person with, from the top of your head, that if they're going through adversity, won't you focus on this particular text, or even if it's text and song, or song and text, you know, one or the other, what to passages you would like to leave them with, a song or a passage?
Well, the passage that I would leave with them is, of course, that famous passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God works all things for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, who love him. God works all things, you know, everything. If we're walking according to the purpose of God, he is working in all things, the bad things as well as the good. We don't you know, that in itself should be self-explanatory. But there are a number of songs out there that have expressed this. One of them, I don't know the name of it, but my son and daughter are going to be singing that this Sunday in our services here. And it talks about sometimes your mercy comes in pain. There's a couple other songs that are on top of my head that one was by the group Phillips, Craig, and Dean, another one by Twyla Paris, who was an old singer years ago. But they talk about thank you for the thorn, thank you for the difficulty, because it is doing something good in my life and heart.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it as that. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Tim, for giving me the opportunity.
Okay. Well, have a great day. Everybody, thank you for listening to this particular episode, and you can download it from iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.